Well, welcome, everybody. I'm glad that you are here this morning to share your morning with us and with each other. And so let's together read our mission statement that's on the front of the bulletin. We are a sanctuary where people can discover and reveal the presence of God within their own being and experience their oneness with all life. Through the realization of this inner presence of love and peace, we give way to the evolutionary impulse of the divine and become a beneficial presence in the world. So that's what we're doing, actually, is we are bringing ourselves here so that while we are here through the words that are spoken and the songs that are sung and the readings and the talk, we are reminded and find that place of recognition within us that, yes, indeed, that one infinite presence that expresses itself in and through all things is present within us. And specifically that it is present as love and as peace, as the truth of our wholeness and the truth of our power, that it is fills our lives with its essence of good. Because what happens is when we come to recognize that that is actually who and what we are, then when we move out into the world, we move into the world differently. And I'm sure you all have noticed that by walking the spiritual path. You come to the world differently when you recognize that peace and love are already within you. When you recognize that you are whole and powerful, regardless of what is going on out there, you come to the world not as a victim, but you come to the world with the ability to be a beneficial presence because you're grounded in spirit and you're grounded in yourself. Therefore, you can come to the world and share your love and your peace and your kindness and your generosity, even when others aren't doing that. And so I say thank you to each of you for walking this spiritual path, for saying yes to your own spirit, to be being a beneficial presence, and to be making a difference in your own life for yourself as well as for the whole. Thank you for that. Well, happy Rosh Hashanah. This weekend is Rosh Hashanah, which marks the beginning of the new year on the Jewish calendar for people who practice Judaism. And with that means, being that there is a new year, that means there is an opportunity for a fresh new beginning. And so people of the Jewish faith, what happens is the next 10 days are spent doing introspection and doing a personal inventory and some inner housekeeping of the and righting wrongs and forgiving others and asking for forgiveness, all as a way to be able to start with a clean slate. And in the Jewish tradition, it is believed that after these 10 days, and then there's Yom Kippur, where you are naming your sins and asking for forgiveness, and the culmination that your fate is sealed for the next year. And so while we in religious science don't believe that we are being judged by God from the outside, what we do know is what is going on in here is reflected out into our world, and then that is reflected back to us as our experience. And so what lives inside of us, whether it's unforgiveness or guilt for what we've done or misgivings of any kind, that also gets reflected out there and then reflected back to us. So at Centers for Spiritual Living, we always talk about, and I always talk about, how it begins within us. Our doing our own inner work, cleaning up our own stuff, changing ourselves as a part of walking this spiritual path so that we indeed bring our best selves to life. And so happy Rosh Hashanah. Happy New Year, everyone. And so I'm going to begin today with Jack Kornfield tells a story. He says, you can imagine yourself as one of these people, the patrons. You are one of the patrons. The patrons sit at a communal log table, and each finds a plate before him and a bottle of wine. Before the meal begins, each person pours their wine not into their own glass, but into their neighbor's. And the neighbor, in return, will return the gesture. In an economic sense, nothing has happened. No one has any more wine than he or she did when they began. But a loving community has appeared where there was none before. We all want to live in that place where we feel kin with each other, where we feel connected to each other. We want to live in that place of inclusion and of care just because we are, just because we're on this planet together, just because we're together. And yet, do you ever find yourself at the opposite end of that spectrum? Do you ever find yourself feeling oppositional or not connected to or judging or whatever it is of people who don't see eye to eye with you? Or people who you disagree with, especially people that you disagree with politically? People who make different choices in their life or live different lifestyles or have values that are different than your own? Or perhaps like a different candidate than the one you like? In those times, what happens is often as we find ourselves being judgmental and intolerant and othering. That's my new word, othering. That's what we do with people. We put them on the outside. I'm part of this oneness, but not with that person. They're on the outside of that oneness. And then what happens sometimes is we get angry. Sometimes we get enraged at those people that we don't agree with. Sometimes, do you ever even feel like you hate somebody because of their opposite perspective or opinion or values than yours? And when that happens is then we get into this firm stance that says, I am right and you are wrong. Therefore, I am good and you are bad. Do you do that? That's what happens in your brain? And yet, we like to think that we are inclusive. We are inclusive as long as you agree with me. We are inclusive as long as we have the same values and the same perspectives, the same opinions. There is a United Methodist minister, Ian Cummins, who said, we are not made to hold half of our neighbors in contempt. Spiritually, we are not wired to feel hatred and mistrust toward each other. It is toxic to our souls. Beneath the anger is terrible loss. We want to be in relationship with each other. We were created for relationship. I don't mean that God created us and hoped that we would enjoy each other's company. I mean that God made us such that we are not whole and healthy unless we are bounded and bonded in human relationship and feel part of the one human family. We need to recognize the sacred worth of another, even if we disagree. Our spirit wants to pour wine for each other at the table. Our spirit wants to feel connected and experience ourselves as part of this one human family. Our spirit wants to care and to love and to include each other. Our spirit wants to live in harmony with everyone else. And our spirit knows that we are on this soul journey. And that soul journey means that we are here to love and to care and to contribute to the good. Our ego, however, does not look at life from that perspective. Our ego instead is often run by fear and by this belief that there isn't enough of whatever it is. And therefore, I have to fight for what should be mine. I have to fight for what I think is the right thing. Our ego believes in competition and has a need to win. That means the need to be right. All of that comes from the ego as a means to keep us safe and to keep us alive. It's our animal nature. Do you ever feel like that? When you get really angry at something that you disagree with or at someone, do you feel almost like you're, rawr, like you're this lion? It's like this animal nature in us to fight for it. And the truth is really is that we are at choice every single moment of our lives. We are at choice. We can be compelled by our ego or we can be compelled by our spirit. We can be compelled from our smallness or from our wholeness. We can be compelled by fear or we can be compelled by love. We get to choose at every single moment. You notice that every single major world religion talks about love and inclusion. Sikhism calls us to see no stranger. Buddha says practice unending compassion. Abraham calls us to open our tent to all. And Jesus said, love your neighbor and love your enemy. So what's up with that? The title of my talk today is High Yield Bonds. And I'm talking about just that quote that I said, we are not whole and healthy unless we are bounded and bonded in human relationships. Unless we feel like we are part of this family. And I'm talking about when we embrace all of humanity with care and with compassion, it's healing to our souls. And it's healing to the whole of humanity. Even when we disagree. Jack Kornfield tells a story about Mother Teresa. He says, once when Mother Teresa was being interviewed for the British Broadcasting Corporation, the interview remarked that in some ways a life of service might be easier for her than ordinary householders. After all, he pointed out, she has no possessions, no car, no insurance, no husband. That is not true, she replied. I am married too. She held up the ring that nuns in her order wear to symbolize their wedding to Christ. Then she added, and he can be very difficult sometimes. Think about that. I never said it wouldn't be challenging and difficult to walk this spiritual path sometimes. I never said that it wouldn't be difficult at times. But what I know is that we already have within us what is being called for. We already have what it is that we are seeking. And I think we all know, too, that we are all on this soul journey. And that means that everything that shows up in our lives is part of that journey and part of that spiritual path. That all of it is an opportunity to spiritualize the world and to give way to our spirit and to give way to the divine love that lives inside of us. Michael Montage, I think is how you say his name, Montaigne, is actually a philosopher from the 1500s who talked about human nature. He said, there are so many different tempers, so many points of view, judgments, opinions, laws, and customs to teach us to judge wisely on our own and to teach our judgment to recognize its imperfections and natural weaknesses. I think it's imperative that we recognize those natural weaknesses of our judgment, of our human mind, of our ego mind. One of those things is that sometimes we forget that we are all in this human condition together. The human condition. That we all have faults. We all have frailties. We all have wounds that we act out of. and we all have half-baked ideas that we come to the world with. Do you have any half-baked ideas? Do you have any places where you aren't really entirely educated about something, yet you have a very strong opinion about it, even though you don't have all the information? We're all doing that. We're all trying to do the best we can with where we are in our lives, with what we've experienced, with what we know. And we forget that sometimes. We judge those other people and forget that phrase we did a long time ago that says, oh, just like me. That person's doing that thing up there. Oh, just like me. I do that also. I think a second thing that we need to recognize about our human mind is that we have a negativity bias. We are wired with a negativity bias. And that means that we tend to focus on the negative. But what it also means is that we tend to like people who are like us. We tend to be attracted to people who are like us. People who think like us, people who look like us, people who dress like us, people who act like us. And to be wary of people who don't. So that makes sense then, part of your wariness of someone who doesn't believe the same way you, it's wired into you. So I think it's important that we remember that is part of our human mind and the way that it works. And I think the third thing that we need to remember and to recognize is that when we are judging another person, we are judging one aspect of them most of the time. One particular thing that they think or do or act how they are in the world. And we are all so much more complex than one item in our lives. We are so much more multifaceted than that one thing. There is a bigger picture to that person or that thing than what you are judging. And so I invite you right now, close your eyes if you want to, but to think of something or someone that you are busy judging, that you have been judging. Maybe somebody that you feel angry towards, someone that you've been othering, someone maybe that you even feel like you hate. And to ask yourself, is this judgment, is this anger in this othering causing me or us to move in the direction that I want to go? Is it taking me where ultimately I'd like to go? Is my judgment, my othering, my anger changing them? Is it creating a better world? Is it bringing heaven to earth? And to ask yourself instead, what would create a better world? What would bring heaven to earth instead of what I've been doing? I invite you to open your eyes. We are called to step back and take a broader perspective on people and situations in life rather than our myopic focus of what is wrong. And if we want to live in a better world, if we want to live with spiritual purpose, if we want to be inclusive and compassionate, we have to let go of those harsh judgments. And then we need to actually take actions that move us in the direction of where we want to end up. That might mean voting. It might mean writing letters. It might mean having a conversation with someone that you don't agree with to see if you can find some common ground. Where are we the same? Where are we similar? What matters to both of us that is the same? It also, I think, means recognizing as part of this human condition that we all are seeking to avoid pain. We are all seeking to get our needs met in the way that we think will take us there, in the only way that we know how. And so oftentimes that means to me that if you disagree with someone, it's the only way they know how to get that need met. There might be healthier ways, there might be kinder ways or gentler ways, but they're doing it because that's how they know how to get to where they want to go. To realize that none of us, including us, are doing it perfectly. We all make mistakes. We all have foibles. And to remember and to know that irregardless of what it is, kindness is never wasted. Understanding is never wasted. Inclusion is never wasted. And love is never wasted. And so my invitation to you this week is to look past the surface differences. To recognize in the midst of that, that all of us have suffering in one form or another. To see that human condition beneath what's happening, while at the same time to notice there is also spiritual perfection there. There is also beauty and love and goodness. To know that beneath the seeming, not even seeming, beneath the pain and the emotional turmoil or the loss or the hardships or the stressors, that all that is real for them as it is for us, and it is also real that their spirit is fully present and fully intact and would also love to come forward and express in this world. We know that what we see and what we hold inside is what we draw to us. So seeing their own divine nature invites that to come forward. Our greatest challenge, maybe that's one of your greatest challenges to see that in another person that you disagree with, but our greatest challenges hold the potential for our greatest growth. So be willing to let the challenges grow you. So rather than reacting to what's happening in the world, the invitation is to be the change you wish to see. To know that creating a space of love and compassion creates space for us to actually come together as this one human family. And from that place of unity, and from that place of the infinite intelligence of spirit that lives within us all, we can create a world that works for us each individually and create a world that works for all. So I invite you to answer the call of your spirit to be the light. And as we each do that, we will be living with greater peace and greater ease and greater unity in this world. And so again, I thank each one of you for walking this path, for being a beneficial presence, for doing the hard work, and for bringing your spirit into this world. Thank you each for that. And so I invite you to join me in consciousness as we come together recognizing the truth. And so the truth is, seriously, is that God is omnipresent. God, by whatever name you want to call it, love, infinite potential, creativity, the life energy, absolute intelligence, the power, the presence, the essence of all beingness, that one from which all things have sprung forth in this universe are imbued with that one. For the one did not create creation and leave it separate, but it actually unfolded itself as all of creation. And therefore, I recognize and know that that infinite presence is right here where we are, filling the air, filling our bodies, filling our minds, filling every single thing with its power, with its presence, with its light and its love, and all the good that it is. That we are each incarnations of that one, here living the life of the divine, here bringing it into the world in a way that is healing, in a way that is wholesome, in a way that is beneficial, and in a way that is loving. For in that, healing occurs all around us. Healing of strife, healing of hatreds, healing of conflict. For we don't have to agree in order to come together as one human family, as one species. And so I recognize today that as we turn to that one, it turns to us in its fullness. And so today, as we leave here, we walk in that light, and we walk with that light, and we share that light everywhere we go. And I know that that light of the divine right now is bright and full and clear. And in that light, the dark places within us become the light. For the darkness cannot stand against the light. It is simply absorbed. And so I speak this word not just about us in this room, but I speak this word about every single person on this planet, that that infinite presence is right where they are also. And it is unfolding within their lives as the exact thing that they need right now, whether it is wisdom or health or harmonious relationships, ideas, financial abundance. It is capable of meeting every single human need. And so right now, it is its good pleasure to unfold as the fulfillment of whatever that need is, for that is already present. And I speak this word about every single politician and decision maker and world leader, knowing that the intelligence of the Infinite One is right within them, that it reveals itself as the best decisions, as clear thinking, as the truth of oneness, the truth of the oneness of humanity. And they are moved by love, for love is the greatest power in the world. And so I release this prayer into that creative law of the universe, knowing that it is unfolding itself right now. It always has been, and it always will be. And so by aligning ourselves with it, we create more space for it to come into this world. And because there is only one, where it happens in one place, it is happening everywhere. And so I release this prayer, and I invite you to join me in saying, and so it is. So I have a couple of invitations for you as a way to participate in this family. We have a new class coming up that's going to start on October 12th. It is called Journey of the Soul. It's a 6-week class that really focuses on living, identifying with your soul and living from that place. We are going to be talking about, we're going to be doing the practice of meditation, talking about emotional healing, self-love, soul presence, and life direction. And so I've decided that it's going to be an evening class, so there is a sign-up sheet in the back. Love for all of you to attend if you can make it. The cost is $120, and the book, which is Magic of the Soul. We did a book study years ago on Magic of the Soul, but this is not the same thing. This is a class. It's a new class that's come out. So I hope we'd love to have any of you that would like to be there to be in class with us. Next week, we are having a picnic, church in the park, service in the park, and then a picnic afterwards. And it's our last one because it's the end of summer. So invite your friends if you'd like to, your loved ones, your family, anyone that might want to come have a picnic and come do church in the park with us next Sunday. There is a sign-up sheet in the back also. The last Sunday of October, we are going to be volunteering. We're going to be doing a community outreach, volunteering for Ronald McDonald House. So that will include things like shopping for the groceries and cooking. The last I heard, they were allowing 20 people. So what you do is you get the food, you collect it, you take it to Ronald McDonald House and cook it together there. So there's a sign-up sheet in the back if you would like to participate in any aspect of that. If you don't want to cook that day, you just want to go grocery shopping or something, maybe write that down next to your name, but that sign-up sheet's in the back also. You all know our talks are available online, and we invite you to follow us on social media. And so I invite you to repeat after me, the love and light of spirit are within me now.
The love and light of spirit are within me now.
I own it and I share it.
I own it and I share it.
I am it.
I am a beneficial presence.
And so it is.